Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Kush and Kai. I'm Kai.
I'm Kush. What's good, y'all?
You know, this, that, and the last Starfighter.
Greetings, Starfighter.
Oh, Centauri, tell me. Take me away to the stars.
We were talking 1984 is the last Starfighter. 1984, what a great year for movies, Kai.
Great year.
So the last Starfighter opened up July 13th, 1984.
Wow, what a summer.
Here's what's weird. So there was no movies before that. I mean, there was June had a whole bunch of releases, including Gremlins and the Ghostbusters.
Wow. But
for some reason, there was nothing that released the weekend of July 4th. However, wow. July 13th, Last Starfighter and The Muppets Take Manhattan open up.
What a 1-2. I mean, date movies go lower. I mean, you go on a date, one of these films on a summer night in 1984.
They would come up just a little short. Last Starfighter came in third, and The Muppets took fifth that weekend. Ghostbusters and Gremlins would duke it out for first and second for the sixth week in a row, and The Karate Kid would take the fourth. Academy Award winning The Karate Kid.
Wow, the Gremlins that they would menace. Ghostbusters, that is something.
Yeah. They came out the same weekend, those two.
That's incredible.
But we're talking the last Starfighter.
Now, the last Starfighter.
I was 5, getting ready to turn 6 when I saw this in the theater at the AMC Saramonte, which is now a Beverages and More.
Oh, Saramonte. I remember the fountain as a child. All of my Filipino friends, we would hang. It was the place to go.
It was and still is. It's only gotten bigger.
More intense.
Yeah.
Are there still ice rockets there?
Oh, I'm sure.
Do they still go compete up and down the 101? Tell me of it.
Probably. That's a little out of my demographic these days. But what is in my demographic is The Last Starfighter, written by some cab driver who saw a kid playing a video game one day on his break, Jonathan Bittell, and he went, hey, you know what? That'd make a great movie. And Nick Castle got the script and went, yeah, I got to direct this. And off we went.
The imagination.
I saw this when I was 6. Kai, when did you see this?
I finished watching it last night.
For the first time ever?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How does this play to brand new eyes in 2018?
Slow.
Oh, no.
Yes. I don't know what you're going to be looking for me from this, but I get it. Yeah. I can see a young Kush being swept into the stars for this, but I have to say, right from one of the things that really just stole my heart was when he was playing on his arcade machine, mm-hmm. and he's going for the high score. Alex is going for the high score.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna break the record.
Word goes through the town as if Cool Hand Luke is going to win like an egg eating competition, or there's like a music man in town that wants to sell you a fucking trombone. Then just people come a running, the old and the young, and they just go, oh, look, oh, Kid Lee, he's going to be the star. And that, I just have to state for the record, because I love games and I love being in phase again, that has never happened. That does not happen. That will not happen. The elderly will never. I mean, you just, even me, when I get to that age, I will be resigned. I don't think. And they did not even know that he was practicing to become the savior of the galaxy.
Well, you didn't know that either.
No, he didn't. No, nobody. Yeah, they didn't. He didn't. That wasn't part of it. But they treated it, him getting this arbitrary score, like grandma herself had spent many years on that level and she could not, you know what I mean? Like they all understood. Like this is a town populated by people that took playing this game as sort of their master's thesis, and they all have a level of appreciation of it that I cannot comprehend.
Well, they definitely want to help celebrate him breaking the record, but that is a good nitpick, is whose record is he breaking?
Mm-hmm.
And, that answer never comes up.
Well, look, it was the previous mayor. I believe he gets elected mayor because now of this truck stop. He gets elected mayor of this truck stop. Gosh, I don't know how you make... This movie somehow managed to make, on its scale of being intergalactic, it made the whole universe feel so small. It was like two sets, one sort of cockpit studio, and then an interior bedroom. It was like, it's so small. Everything is so small. It's like, we're going to save the universe. I'm like, yeah, you mean all those people at the truck stop? Like, awesome, right? They'll be thrilled. If not, I don't know.
Well, as we just babbled on, we meet Alex Rogan, and he lives in a truck stop in nowhere, California, and he lives with his mom and his little brother Lewis, who's got quite a collection of Playboys.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex is kind of the handyman around there. His dad's never really mentioned, but he's definitely not around this day.
No.
Or any of this, actually. It's not sure. We're not sure if he's dead or if he's just at work or on a secret mission or whatever the story is. But there we go. So Alex breaks the record and then greeted by an alien.
Mm-hmm.
An alien by the Music Man's very own Robert Preston.
Yes! Robert Preston is there! And he sells us this tale. I mean, we believe him. I love a version where he's just a human and he just makes Alex do some weird stuff in the name of intergalactic safety. But mm-hmm. I mean, I would follow him there.
He's an intergalactic huckster. He developed the Starfighter game, and it was his intention to have this game in Las Vegas, but it somehow ended up in this trailer park.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a thing that's bothered me, because he pulls up to the road stop, and he's like, hey, do you know who won that game over there? And it's revealed that it's Alex, and yeah, he's talking to me, and he's like, oh, good, get in the car. And I'm thinking, like, well, if you had this game at the Bellagio, how much harder would this be for you, Mr. Alien Robert Preston?
Yeah, is this, and this is the one spot?
This is the one spot.
On Earth.
On Earth that was successful.
Where would you put it on Earth?
Oh, I mean, who knows? Robert Preston's a businessman in this movie, so he's all about, he talks about getting the programmers to develop it and marketing to get it out by Christmas. And
I mean, where would you put this machine? Because the pretext is that they have made many of these machines.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure one's in L.A. and New York and Miami.
Assuming that this is the only one on Earth, where would you...
Only one, huh?
Because they spread them all throughout the galaxy.
Gotcha.
To find starfighters. And it's a test, right? And so this is a random sampling, and they're just like, here, where would you put it?
I'd probably put it somewhere in Russia.
There you go. I was going to go with Tokyo.
Tokyo, that's a good spot.
Train station in Tokyo. That's where we're going. Or Seoul, South Korea. One of those two.
Now, Tokyo has more foot traffic, so I think that's better. You're going to get more competitors. You're going to get a thicker contest.
Indeed.
I think you're going to get a more cold and calculating Russian, but you're going to get a sharper mind in Japan. So, yeah, Japan's a good spot there.
Yeah, a lot of traffic, too. A lot of try and fail. Numbers-wise, you'll suss out some of the best, I would say. Look, I'm statistically speaking.
Statistically speaking. In theory. All in theory. Hashtag theory.
And so, what was the... This is 84?
This is 1984. So, video games are a new thing, man. Like, we don't have PlayStation anything. We have no idea where the video games will take us, or if they'll take us anywhere. They'll just rot your brain.
And we are. This is post Empire Strikes Back.
This is post Return of the Jedi.
Post Return of the Jedi. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it is like a smaller, compact. There are Star Wars-y elements, but there's a moment. Where he's looking up at that model solar system in his room, and it's spinning around, and the music plays, and he's like, he's smiling at it, so I would assume he's getting like inspired.
Well, the day he breaks the record, we see his earlier shenanigans, and he was supposed to go on a picnic with his girlfriend, and he holds that all up so he can check the mail and get his college application. So his whole motivation is to get out of the trailer park. He doesn't necessarily know where he's going. Like, there's nothing to lead us to believe that he wants to be an astronaut or an engineer or a pilot or anything. He just wants out of the trailer park. That's his goal for sure.
We dig. We're in. Yeah.
And then he gets into a stranger's car, and sure enough, he flies into the galaxy.
Yes.
Upon arriving at a space station in another dimension, he finds out that he has been shanghaied to be a part of an intergalactic war.
He was chosen.
Between the Starfighter Defense League and the Codan Armada.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Codan Armada, Kai?
These are the bad guys, right?
These are the bad guys.
And they're wearing the red leather?
Yes.
Okay, so I was thinking about this. It's like, who are these dudes, right? Like, what's our comparison? Like, what is this force that is just needlessly evil? They just want to mess some stuff up. You know, that's their mission. Mm-hmm. This is like, if, remember the Noid from Domino's?
Yes.
This is his race of people. He just wants to ruin pizza. They just want to ruin things for no reason. This is if the Noid, he got more leathery, right? But it's a leathery Noid that they're ruining the galaxy. And the red outfit, it's an extension of that. Like, even in space, red leather, oh, you look dead sexy. No, space Noids. Again, tight, that's completely unnecessary. You know what I mean? They're not doing any hand-to-hand or anything. That's just so they look good.
Well, it's the guys under the masks that look like the Noids. Everyone else looks like a burnt-up baseball mitt.
Yeah, there's a range of brisket ends and rubbery kind of Gumby finger faces. it's very involved, but yeah, the Noid. This is a race of Noids, and we have found our arcade hero. We're also introduced to one of my favorites, Space Colonel Sanders.
Space Colonel Sanders is amazing. He's got that little monocle that just pops.
And so we've got a fast food war here in space. It is the fried chickensies of the Colonel Sandai fighting the Domino's red leather space Noids, and it's getting intense up there because after Starfighter, Alex Starfighter is trying to get recruited by the fried chicken Space Colonel Sanders people. He goes, no, I'm not into fast food. I'm into local and slow food. And he goes home, and the Noids, they don't just ruin pizza. They killed every Starfighter from around the galaxy at the Starfighter Center.
They shot meteors right at the thing, killing just about everybody in the hangar bay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that was the plan too. Was like that was their whole plan. Like this is what they needed. Was the Starfighters to repel this? They're all dead. This plan was not good.
Burrow a hole into the space wall.
Yeah, and then the Noids know where you are, and you all gather to the same spot, and then you die. So the Colonel Sanders is his strategy of going for just one chicken solution bucket. Mm-hmm. Did not that strategy, all of your wings, your Starfighter wings in one bucket, did not work.
Well, unfortunately for Colonel Sanders, he's just following orders from his Emperor, who we've never seen, but apparently the Starfighter Defense League, they had a traitor in the midst. Someone has a rebellious young son who committed treason, and he's joined up with the Codan Armada, and he's like, I know where the Starfighter Defense League is. We'll take them all out, and then we'll just run the galaxy. So he gets a whole armada, and he gets a little scepter. And that's the plan, is to burrow through the wall and kill everybody and then kill more people.
Oh, yeah. He's what does he call himself? The Emperor of Raiden?
Emperor Zur.
Zur.
Yes, the Emperor of Raiden, yes. Or Rylos.
Ah, Rylos. Our first genderless emperor. So
However, as you pointed out, Alex has said no to all this, and Centauri Robert Preston is taking him back.
Hmm.
Taking him all the way back home, and there is a robot left in his
place. He lets him hear it a little bit, too, on the way back about, like, well, yeah, passive-aggressive, about, you could save the galaxy. You could, but you're not going to. You're going home. That's all right. You can live a life. Everyone has that point. Like, because later, Centauri, the lizard guy, what's that guy's name?
Grig.
Grig does it to him, too, where it's like, well, you could live a long life until they get here. They all have the same attitude, like, sure, you could go. It's like a Italian grandmother. Like, yeah, maybe, I might die of shame that you didn't eat my food, but okay.
The threat of the Codon Armada is quite real, very serious. So they keep trying to hammer that home. He finally does get it.
You know, this movie, I don't think it would sway it that much, because the graphics are, they are of the age. But you watch these and you have to, you're just like, yes, I would imagine these in an updated current manner, but these are bad. Some of these graphics, it just.
These were the first graphics. These are the first ones, man. The guys who did this movie, they lost the bid to do Star Wars. They went, we're going to use physical props.
Yeah.
Like they had a whole, if you you get the Blu-ray, the DVD, there's a whole documentary, and it actually shows old X-Wings in this format.
Oh, good stuff.
And they're just like, we like where you're going. We hope you do better, but not for this movie, not for Star Wars.
Right.
So then they got hooked up with Lorimar and Universal, and that's how they got to do the last Starfighter.
The ships themselves for the age look pretty good. They're like the Gunstars. Yeah, the Gunstars, like, they, you know, they're detailed and they're in, and they, you know, they move and they're actuated. They have pieces that move around. Mm-hmm. It's just these one and two layer backgrounds. Just
it's very unsophisticated, but for 1984, man, it was Tron and this.
That
is
true.
As far as video effects went.
Okay. I think the angle that Tron took about how it's stylized, mm-hmm. and so they kind of rested it on that, was a smart move, because you run into this thing where it's like, going for the realism part, like, yeah, we're not there. Mm-hmm. And you got to recognize that to a degree.
Oh, for sure. Well, spoiler alert, we're going to jump to the end. The Codon Armada, as they're losing, they end up ramming into a moon, and they don't burn through its atmosphere. As soon as they hit the physical sphere, boom. Like, it's the corniest looking thing.
Also, I mean, during that scene, and it's great because they accept their fate. It's like, oh no, we're being pulled into the gravitational orbit of the moon. What should we do? And the other dude just goes, we will die.
It's a great scene.
That's badass.
You know, like... Yeah, so much great about this guy, man. Like, the story is fantastic. It obviously wanted a sequel because Emperor Zurg gets away.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, as brought up at the beginning, you know, this opened in third place. So it was only kind of successful, but not...
Okay, you know, aside from it being not being big enough to have overcome, like, whatever movies it was going on or whatever replayability, I mean, I'll give it this, like, there's a bunch of fun stuff in this movie.
Absolutely.
I think I don't even know, it's like a criticism, but the narrative device, it's just sort of like opinion, where it's like the narrative device of watching him be good at being a starfighter is like looking at him trying to focus really hard. You know, it's like, is he going to do it? It's like, yeah, he's going to, you know, he's in it. He's going to do it. And so even to that, to like, what's anybody's closest comparison? Be like, sure, people can say like, oh, it's just a Star Wars knockoff. Like, at least that, I mean, they give us this, there's the Force element is such a great component to fuse to this war movie piece. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, the spirituality layered over the top of that. And we see the plot and it's light and dark. In this, it's like, yeah, when we get into those elements, it makes the star fighting the interesting piece of this.
Mm.
The actual the fighting part. You disagree.
I disagree, but I'm on a nostalgia kick, so don't.
Okay, so yeah, tell me how did it strike you back in the day?
Well, back in the day, you know, I was 6 years old, so I
did it wow you? Did it blow your skirt up? What I mean,
it wowed the hell out of me, and you know, the parts where we see Beta units of evolution, where he's just, you know, a throbbing mass of putty.
I liked Beta unit was fantastic. They gave it great little scenes. Like there's a scene where they do a, you know, the old school horror effect where it's like the mannequin's holding the head on the bench and they do the full head turnaround and he's doing repairs on himself. Like
that's a fun scene too.
Great, simple, practical stuff. Like it was like, that was good. And then his duality of, you know, understanding that he's the target and not fitting in and then saying, fuck it. And then he tells the human girlfriend anyway.
He gives up real quickly on his mission. It's just kind of upsetting.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, so I'm a robot and your boyfriend's up in space and he's fighting aliens. Yeah. That's all I got for you. I gotta steal his truck now. And the girlfriend buys it. It's great.
And then Robert Preston, who is basically like, you know, his main function, other than being like an agent for the, what is it, the Space Command?
Starfighter Defense League.
Yeah, so in his recruitment sort of role, he's like Space Jiminy Cricket, really. Mm-hmm. And he has a cool flying space DeLorean.
He's an intergalactic huckster.
He's an intergalactic huckster, which really made it feel, are you a Rick and Morty fan? I don't know if we've talked about this.
No, I'm not, but I haven't seen it. To be honest,
there's a Rick and Morty element to this old man with his flying, you know, old science man with his flying car trying to entice this boy to come along. But it's good. It's a present theme. I mean, they're all right. Where would you like to jump back into this? Because we went to the end real quick. But
we did go to the end real quickly.
And then we had established that the Noids had destroyed all the other starfighters. Yes. And Alex has then decided to dip a toe into starfighting when they fly back.
Well, actually, Alex is they go back to Earth. But apparently Earth. The Space DeLorean has a breakdown on the side of the road. And Alex says, you know what, I'm only a couple of miles away from home. I'm going to walk home. And Centauri just, whatever, get out of here, kid. He immediately finishes his repair, and he gives him a little communicator. He's like, you know, this is your second chance. This is if you change your mind, gives him the big speech, you're going to be dead in a millennia anyways.
Yeah.
But then Centauri just drives off. Like, he could have just given him a ride. But it's kind of like his last fuck you to Alex Rogan. So Alex Rogan comes home and finds out that the Beta unit is fucking up his game everywhere. Like, the girlfriend's mad at him. The neighbors are mad at him. Everyone's pissed off.
Why do they need the Beta unit? Can't he just disappear? Wouldn't that have been easier? This is more confusing.
The Beta unit is used specifically just to not cause any suspicion, so the mom doesn't get worried. I think it's more for the kids. However, the real story is test audiences love the Beta unit.
Gotcha.
They love the idea. They love the interaction that him and Alex Rogan have back and forth. Beta unit is done in reshoots, so he's actually wearing a wig the second time, which is why he looks just a little bit off.
I see. Well, that helps.
Yeah. So Beta unit's there for test audiences mainly.
Yeah.
Anyway, aliens have come to Earth, and they're now murdering people to get to Alex.
Yep.
Centauri saves the day, comes back down, and back they go to Starfighter Defense League to find out it's been blown up.
This is the thing also, too, where it's like, oh, we'll have a decoy there. Mm-hmm. You're going to go there to kill the decoy, right? And then kill other people. If he's just not there, do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that he... Anyway. It's so unnecessary.
From your Game of Thrones logic, I see where you're coming from 100%. But from our competitor is Muppets Take Manhattan, this holds water. Okay.
No, I'm game. I'm game. They uniformly they assume, and maybe in other worlds, this is way more effective. You know what I mean? Like they can't tell. You know, it's seamless other places. It's just having trouble here. I'm on board. I'm on board. Also, the Lizardman deck officer guy that becomes his pilot guy.
Greg, yes.
Greg, his head looks like a penis when he doesn't have a helmet on. His head looks like a penis. I will put it up on ChristianKai.com, but just hold on. Here it comes. All right, here we go. We're just setting this up because just look at the. Okay, blow that up there.
You're killing my childhood. Okay. Childhood fantasy.
But just around the top. I mean, that's a the scoop there.
That's a mushroom cap for sure.
That is a cap.
A turtle shell.
Okay, that it's a lizard man that has a head that looks like a piece. I'm sorry. Maybe young Kush didn't see that, but that's all I can see.
Well, adult Kai is a pervert. So
oh, no, no, that's undisputed.
Little fun fact here. So Alex and Greg get friendly together.
Of course.
And they're like, this is my family, this is my family. They show pictures to each other. And Greg's got a wife.
Uh-huh.
They just put negligee on Greg and took photos of him.
Mm-hmm.
So Greg was his own wife.
Absolutely. That's got to be convenient.
They only had the one costume.
Oh, Greg, man. Yeah, that just for him, they only had the one costume. There was a scene where there were more races involved.
We meet a whole bunch of aliens, the last of the starfighters.
Yeah.
Who ultimately die, and they do this real fun thing where Alex goes up to the station and he's only speaking English and everybody's speaking everything else until they give him the Babelfish chip.
Yeah.
Which is just the name I stole from Hitchhikers. It's called something else.
There it is.
But only then can he understand everybody and they can understand him.
He gets the translator thing.
Yes.
But that scene with Space Colonel Sanders is talking to the whole congregation.
Well, that's Zur, not Sanders.
Oh, that was Zur?
Yes.
Oh. But he's talking about taking revenge.
That's right.
Zur.
Emperor Zur is a spoiled child, and he wanted to punish his father.
Oh, that's right. That looked very Ivory Tower from the Neverending Story when he has all the folks together. And then we're going to tear it down, man. But nothing's coming. But they had a cool light bright management board there, too. That was neat.
Kai, fun fact.
Yeah.
The Neverending Story comes out 1 week later, July 20th.
Wow. If these two movies existed in the same, you could go see that.
July 20th also, Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh my gosh.
And the movie nobody saw, Best Defense, which actually had the widest release of those three mentions.
1984. I would like to go back to New Jersey. I'd like to go to Action Park in 1984. You know, the one where people are getting hurt. I'd see a couple movies, go to New York. I mean, I just, man. That what a magical time. Summer 1984.
How old are you in 84?
Two.
Gotcha. So you missed all of this.
Yep. Wow. This is not part of my... I've recreated it from various movies, but...
Of course.
And podcasts, like this one. But
let me just tell you real quick. I'm going to go down the top 10 for 1984. Beverly Hills Cop, number one. I would see that on video later. Number two, Ghostbusters. I would see that in the theater. Temple of Doom, VHS. Gremlins, VHS. Karate Kid, Police Academy, also VHS. Footloose, not my demographic. Mm-hmm. Romancing the Stone, Star Trek 3, and Flash.
There it is. Wow.
Number 11, Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The top 168 movies of 1984.
That is something. 84, everybody. We just lit it up.
Strong year.
Where were we? Did we get to the beta unit, Cyrano de Bergeracking himself?
We haven't gotten there yet, but that's a great scene, too. Alex has gone back to base. He's suited up. He's found out he is the last starfighter, and him and Grig have taken off in a prototype, and they're off to kill some Codans.
That's right.
Alex has still not assessed the gravity of the situation, but we do come back to the beta unit, continuing to fuck up Alex Rogan's life game. He's finally on a date with Maggie, and he's
hearing... Under the covers, as we understand, puts her tongue in his ear, and mm-hmm. he does not reciprocate properly, which upsets her.
As it should.
Yeah, and then he asks if he should jam his tongue in her ear now. Because that is what humans do.
And she does not take that very well.
Was not into it. Throws the blanket off, upset. So he starts listening to a redneck.
He's one of the local guys that he was on the date with. It's this whole thing of 3.5 couples went to the lake to have some makeout session. Makeout session.
A lot of blankets.
Because there's the driver, and he's got his girlfriend in the cab of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the bed of the truck is this dude telling a story, and he's got a babe in each arm. That's him and two chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Beta and Alex's girl.
Yeah.
So that's a lopsided number. That's an odd number. But anyway, the loudmouth is only with one girl, and he starts making his plea or whatever.
About, yeah, being sorry and taking him back. And then, of course, it's working, and then all the other girls meant nothing, and the beta unit hears this and can't stop himself, and it pisses off his girl. However, after he has annoyed her, he comes clean that he is a beta unit. So he folds pretty quick. He blows his cover. And then immediately is punished for it. The cop, the thing that looks like a cop, it's one of the...
An alien cops. Came down and Terminator style took a cop's identity. And then shoots Beta.
But Beta survives.
Beta survives and no cells. They're just like, see?
Yeah, and he then sacrifices himself. He goes on I don't know how the car explodes, but he drives his car into one of these scout post things while it's doing a broadcast, mm-hmm. and it explodes into flames. And then, of course, I think this is the ultimate purpose of the beta unit. They think that the last starfighter is dead based on this.
That's right. They're sending transmission that he's killed the last starfighter, but transmission's interrupted. But old Zur just, he's being cocky, and he declares that the last starfighter is dead. Colonel Sanders is not so sure, but just goes with it anyways.
Uh-huh.
And they continue trying to make the space wall bigger.
Yeah, and the last
space wall.
The last starfighter is in mission right then. But they're cutting between all of these decisions happening. But they go to the girlfriend, backlit by the fireball.
the burning wreckage.
And she says to the camera, I love you, Alex Rogan.
There's a deep swell of music.
Oh, yeah. It's a big...
It's a great looking scene, but no. In context, it doesn't make any sense.
That was great. She decided... I'm glad they gave her enough agency at that moment to just go with, like, I love you, Alex Rogan. And it's not agency. They're just making her mindlessly love this weird character that has abandoned her and this robot and alien. Anyway, she just goes with it.
The fire in the background and the wind sweeping through her hair and the music.
It was very Gone with the Wind. She was there swept up in the fall of, you know, after the Civil War. That's where she was.
So as this has happened, Kurg and Alex are on their way, and they're hiding in a meteor right now. Or an asteroid. It's an asteroid.
It's like 1/8 Empire Strikes Back when they go into the asteroid, into the space worm.
Totally fair comparison.
Plus, actually, because they're energy droids, it is closer to a very pre-Matrix when they cut the engines, when they're hiding from the what are they, the squiddies? What are they
called? Squids.
The squids. Yeah. And then they have to bust the EMP because they're energy sensors. So that was, you know, that actually, like, they create a little, they use that context, fine, they're there. But once they strike and they go in, they know that Emperor Rylos is full of shit. They're like, wait a minute, Alec, the Starfighter's up there. He's busted. And they order the Rylos guy to be seized.
Yeah, they've had enough of his shit, and they were plotting the whole time, or just not amused with him. But Emperor Xur is no longer Emperor, and Colonel Sanders is now in charge, as everyone knew he was.
Yes.
But he's going to forward with the plan, but without this dummy. However, Alex Rogan, as our hero should be doing, interferes with that plan. There was some drama in the middle of all this where he was going to go home again, and then they got in some space battles, and he was like, nah, we're going to do it this way. We're going to wait for them to go past us, and then we'll sneak up behind them. We'll take out the communication tower, and they'll all be sitting ducks. And they are.
They are.
And we're introduced to Death Blossom.
Yes.
Guy, what did you think of Death Blossom?
Remind me again.
Oh, that's the big thing where they're spinning around, and it's a big...
Oh, it's just their death weapon thing?
Yes.
I you know, okay. Here's the thing that, like, they got to me for every, like, for the digital creation of the battle. Mm-hmm. One of the things that bugged me the most was when things blew up, they did this jump. They did this shimmy and then jump. All of the ships that he destroyed, and they're in space and they're in motion, but they all of a sudden stop and they shake and then they jump up and down. Mm-hmm. And then they explode, mm-hmm. and I just even to scale, like they did that for very small ships and then very big things too. When the bad guys crashed into the moon, their thing did the same thing. I was distracted by that.
Well, again, man, these are the first video effects. You know, only Star Fox looks a little bit less better.
Yeah, Star Fox. Oh, Star Fox.
Or I should say the last Starfighter only has more pixels than Star Fox.
I'm surprised that... I mean, speaking of Star Fox, there are rumors that Mario is going to get, like, a Mario movie made by Nintendo.
Yeah, why not?
And I've never heard of it,
sure.
But that would kick open the door for, I mean, a Legend of Zelda movie, a Samus Metroid movie. You know, there's a bunch of directions they could go with that if that first one goes well. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that that could be on our doorstep.
TBD.
TBD. T to the fuck to the B to the D. So this is the other piece where. Easing back into the plot that we were, it's hard to tell where they are, the scale of things in the battle, because it's shoot a ship in the asteroid cave, and then shoot a couple other on the surface, and then he starts shooting ships near the energy wall.
So it's first it's a one-on-one battle, and then it's like 1-on-5, and then it's him against 3 dozen ships plus the communication ship.
Yeah,
and that's where we leave it. That's the big climax. So we have Death Blossom. It kills everybody.
Death Blossom.
Yeah, but Death Blossom drains all of their energy, and Grig has to bypass and hotwire and do all that stuff. That was a fun staple of the 80s. But the communication ship is like ramming speed. And thankfully, you know, they have just seconds to spare. In fact, they even like grind metal together, but they get out of the way, and that's when the ship explodes into the moon.
Ah, yeah. It goes down. Mm-hmm. And they, I mean, they defeated those folks, but the Emperor gets away.
The Emperor gets away. He escapes in a escape pod.
Yeah, we got an escape pod.
So that teased future sequels to Never Come.
Mm.
And Alex and Greg go back to Rylos, mm-hmm. where they get a hero's celebration and are asked to rebuild the Starfighter Defense League.
Indeed.
We also find out that Centauri is, in fact, not dead.
No. Centauri regenerates.
Centauri regenerates.
He does a Chinese quick face change mask routine, and he's back. He just needed to repair his body.
Yes.
Everybody, celebrate. He's back. Because we missed him so much for abandoning the main character.
I have a feeling that's a focus group issue. They didn't want Robert so and so to die.
They didn't want to take him out.
Nah, easy rewrite for the script. Oh, he's an alien. He just regenerated. He was asleep the whole time.
Oh.
You know, he's a music man.
Yeah, he comes back in the cocoon. Yay, he's alive. Yeah. Convenient.
Anyway, so Alex accepts the offer, but he's got to go back home. He's got to say goodbye to mom. Got to say goodbye to little brother.
Well, the whole town gets to see. So this is real. Because if he had come back and said no and just sort of resumed his life, you'd be like, wow, this was a dream, right? Like he had a meth-based sort of psychotic episode.
They could have totally did the gimmick where it just flashes white and the next day he wakes up in bed still in his clothes, his flannel, and he's like, what? And now he's getting grief again, like when he came back home the first time, like, hey, dummy, you stole my truck, and hey, you blah, 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 blah. And he's like, what?
Exactly.
And then you hear off in the bell, greetings, Starfighter. That's totally how they could have done the movie. But they didn't. He accepts. And the whole time finds that dad's still MIA.
I may have liked this movie a little more if it was all a dream. Or they left elements where it's like, was it a dream? You know, he wakes up, he's on the machine. But then there's, I don't know, he has like some kind of a keychain from Centauri. Who knows? The car is there.
He's like got Griff's family picture. I was like, what am I doing with all these salamander people?
Wow. Oh my. Well, and this was one year before Enemy Mine as well. These are definitely, they're sister pictures, I have to say.
For sure.
This is the American Enemy Mine. The other one's about them. This is about me. Good stuff.
So we, he comes home, says goodbye, mom. Goodbye, Lewis. Maggie, come with me. I can't come with you. Sure you can. No, I can't. Okay, I will.
Wells. He starts to leave, and then he's like, wait! And she changes her mind. And she does
change her mind.
I swear to God, they're going to be divorced inside like a week. They're going to go to space. Oh, my God. That's a terrible
decision. She's going to leave him for a Xanthar.
Yeah,
I just made that up.
Of course, all the single ladies love the Xanthars.
Mm, well, you know, they're successful business.
All single ladies love the Xanthars. she's not single anymore. She is accompanying the last Starfighter into the stars. He didn't fight any stars, but that was the name of the game, and therefore the movie. And he won. I like, too, how he's tasked with the lizard, Greg, is tasked with trying to impress upon people, like, hey, he saved 100 systems, including Earth. People should be a lot more impressed than they are.
They're trying to absorb this all in. There's a spaceship in front of them and an alien speaking English. Like, it's a lot to absorb all at once.
Oh, my.
I can't say I would have handled it much better. In fact, I might have started swinging fists and getting shot with laser guns.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. I'm surprised that she went with him. I guess, you know, based on how fast Robert Preston, the music man, got to Earth and around, mm-hmm. if it doesn't go well, it seems like they can bail. You know what I mean?
I feel like if something happens in the relationship, she doesn't get to come back to Earth anyways. I feel like she's stuck wherever they are.
I kind of feel that. You know what I mean? Like, she's signing up to go, and it's, yeah, they're going to have some differences. You know,
well, they both have to get used to this. So.
They've never even lived on their own. You know what I mean?
No, they're just children.
Yeah.
These are children.
And they're getting, essentially, yeah, they're moving away together?
And because it's 1984, they look like they're about 27.
Exactly. That, yeah, I was like, ain't they early 30s? They're on a second mortgage? No, they live at home. They're children.
Yeah. This is why when I was 6, I thought all 17-year-olds were 40.
Right. Yeah, the hair and the clothes, they didn't do themselves any favors. I was looking this up. Steven Spielberg apparently tried to remake this a couple of times to no avail. Do you know anything of the other the history of the remakery here?
Only rumors that have happened in the last 7 years. We had the 25th anniversary, which is when all it started. We've passed the 30th anniversary, so people want this to be remade, if not added on to. And yeah, it's time for a remake.
Yeah,
they could do something. You could also argue that Jumanji just did this.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's a fun story. I just recently got to rewatch it again on the big screen at the Alamo Drafthouse, so just swelled with emotions and nostalgia as I looked down upon Ready Player One.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good with a remake. Bring it on.
Yeah, I'm game. Let's see what they do here. I'd be fine. Let's see what that's.
The story is simple. You can only make the video effects better.
Exactly. Yeah, just breathe a little more life into there. I'm game.
They could do what they did, what they have been doing with the Star Trek original series, which is just everything on the set is the same, but all the exterior shots of the ship have been updated and polished.
Yeah, I would. I'm game. No, the remasters.
Yes, the remasters.
Totally. Yeah, I'd be down for a remaster here.
Yeah, at minimum remaster, at most a remake. Get on a Universal. Chop chop.
This is come on, guys. What are we doing here? This is one of the closest beats for coming out in 1984 from number 30 to number 31. Last Starfighter came out at 31, beaten by Starman.
Starman, great movie as well.
Fantastic movie.
Karen Allen.
Absolutely. Like less than $11,000.
Wow.
It's pretty close. But also, I have to say, this 1, 2, 3, it beat Cannonball Run 2.
Nice.
This is a perfect lineup for the era, that 1, 2, 3. And then also just above it at 29. The Gods Must Be Crazy, which fantastic.
Let me add some more titles to this is the top 10 for that week. Everything I've already mentioned.
Goddamn! Sorry.
Bachelor Party was its third week. That came in at number 7. Cannonball Run was number 8 that week, and Conan the Destroyer came in at number 9 that weekend.
I'm just seeing that. Sorry, 16 Candles is down here, number 44. Sorry, all the movies, people. 1984 is awesome.
1984 is a pretty fantastic year, folks.
And at 63, Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I saw that also at the Ceremony 6.
Children of the Corn. Oh my God! At 64. Sorry.
That's all right.
Everybody, all right. I implore you to just Google movies from 1984. All right. Yeah, I think that's about it on my end.
So, well, I love this movie, Kai. I wish I could say you did the same, but it is what it is.
I enjoyed this film. I would recommend others to see it. Great time and place. I love the reverence for arcade carts that people have in this.
Did you get to watch it with the kid at all? With Lil Kai?
She did not get a chance, but this is a perfect viewing fair. This is, I think she can track. I think she'll understand the plight of The Last Starfighter. Okay. As I hope all of you did, too. Well, oh my gosh. Wait a minute. Number 100 for 1984, a film I like a great deal. The Razor's Edge with Bill Murray.
Never saw that, but that's serious Murray.
It is. He takes a deep inward look here. Spiritual. Recommend that too. Made $6.5 million in 84. That's actually not bad for this type of movie. I was surprised. Anywho. Well, that's it for me. Check us out at ChristianKai.com.
Christian Kai, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. iTunes, Stitcher, and
iTunes. Yeah.
Checking us out. Recommend us to friends. Thank you very much.
Making and being. All right, rock on, Kush.
Rock on, Kush.
Woo!